The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
The receiving corps is dreadful. When Larry Donald's your top target, when the Giants were a tight end by committee, you're in trouble. And for this video to be released, and for Roger Goodell to trust Ray Rice and telling him face-to-face and not see it, is embarrassing. Dee Milliner could shut the heck up saying he's the best because he was getting torched. When Ray Rice is getting two games for beating his wife, and Josh Gordon is getting a whole season for testing .01 below the drug level, it's a joke. And we're getting funky on Sports Talk 1240. A little Stevie Wonder to open up the show. I'm your host, Jake Brown, here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. We got a busy show and actually a good day in New York sports. The Giants with a win today, 30-17. The Mets won, the Yankees won, and the Jets will take on the Bears tomorrow, and the Seahawks just capped off an incredible overtime victory over the Broncos in a rematch of the Super Bowl. We got a busy show, so let's get started. If you want to join the program today, join me, Jake Brown, at JB Sports Radio. You can tweet us at SportsTalk1240 on Twitter or like us on Facebook as well. And give us a call. I'll be taking your calls the whole hour at 631-888-8811. And at 815, former Giant backup quarterback, former NFL quarterback, and now at footballbyfootball.com, an incredible football site with former players that contribute to it. It'll be Sage Rosenfels at Sage Rosenfels, blah, 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 blah. At Sage Rosenfels 18 is going to join me at 8:15. A breakdown NFL Week 3, a wild week in the NFL. A lot of good games today, a lot to get into, and we only got a little less, about 55 minutes to do it. Got to throw a commercial in there to pay the bills. We got a lot to do, so let's get it going. Now, after last week, I was worried. Paul Dottino of Giants WFAN was worried, and we were thinking the Giants are in a whole lot of trouble. We called this a must-win game. This was a must-win for Big Blue. And what do? They go out and get it done. Now, early on, you're thinking to yourself, this can't be happening. It's like the bad news Bears, the bad news Giants. They're allergic to scoring points. Nothing's going to go right for this team. What's going on? You have, first of all, you get Prince Mokomora gets the interception. Yes, the Giants, they get a turnover. They finally force one. And this came after the Texans got a fake punt for a first down. You're thinking everything's good. The Giants are driving. Larry Donald, who's been huge, the tight end, 6'6", 260, fumbles at the two-yard line, and the Giants don't score. But all in all, it's a scoreless game the first quarter. Eli Manning, 7-for-7 to end the first quarter. It includes a Victor Cruz 61-yard catch. I mean, you're thinking to yourself, how have they not scored? They look so good. And then second quarter, let's get a 30-yard chippy on the board. Nope, bad snap, Zach Diassi, fumbled by Weatherford. Josh Brown had no chance. And you're thinking, what the hell is going on with the New York Giants? And then finally, the bad news Bears, Big Blue, finally gets it going. I mean, about time. Victor Cruz gets Big Blue on the board, and it's 7-0. Antro Roll gets an interception, a 1-yard Jennings run, and thank you, Rashad Jennings, for dominating and helping my fantasy team today. He gets a touchdown, and it's 14-0. Just like that, Big Blue leads 14-0. And you got to like what you're seeing. Third quarter comes around. Turnover on downs. Ryan Fitzpatrick, 4-for-13 with two picks, 39 yards in the first half. Starts off the second half, they turn it over on downs. Josh Brown gets another field goal, 17-0. Field goal, Texans 17-3. Then the Texans make it a little interesting. They get a touchdown, Brown another field goal. And then the Giants, again, their defense and special teams makes up for all that they did wrong last week. They block a punt after a challenge, making it 4th-and-1. DeMontre Moore gets his left hand out there. He hurt Leckler, the punter, but It looks like he was okay. And the Giants get a Daniel Feld, my man, 9-yard touchdown, one-handed catch. And just like that, 27-10, Big Blue. And that was essentially a wrap. They got a field goal. Texans with Ryan Fitzpatrick would get a garbage time diving touchdown. And it's 30-17 is your final. The Giants improved to 1-2. The Texans fall to 2-1. Now, you know what? Can you get excited from this game, folks? Do you think the Giants have flipped the switch and they're in cruise control, pun intended? No, because you know what? Arian Foster didn't play today. And Ryan Fitzpatrick without Arian Foster is like a deer in the headlights. I mean, they had no chance from the start in this football game. When you don't have Clowney, Jadeveon Clowney, the first-round pick on one side of your defensive line, and you don't have the superstar running back in Arian Foster who's been running like his feet are on fire and he's gotta get out. He's just been amazing. Without him, they didn't stand a chance from the get-go. So this was all Big Blue. They really should have won by more. A couple of mishaps in the first quarter, in the first half, cost them. But, I mean, you look at the stat line, the Giants pretty much dominated. Don't look at the total yards, but, I mean, the rushing yards. The Giants were running wild today, 193 yards. Rashad Jennings, 176. He was making it look easy out there. Easy. And Eli Manning, I'm telling you, people, and here's what I said, and so far, I guess you could say I've been right. I said they're going to have a bad start the first couple of weeks of the season. The offensive line's not going to gel. The offensive line's going to need a couple of weeks to gel. The offense is going to need a couple of weeks to gel, and they'll be fine. Now, are you excited as a Giants fan you beat the Texans without Clowney and Foster? No, you're not. I mean, if you are, you're an idiot because this means nothing. This was a game you had to win. You lose this game, the season is officially over. So, no, you don't get that excited. But you saw things from the Giants' offense today that you hadn't seen. You saw them gel. You saw Eli have time to throw. Eli's not this three-step drop quarterback, and he's going to be able to throw touchdowns left and right. He needs time in the pocket, and he had that. And Richter Cruz finally let loose. Cruz let loose. 5 catches, 170 yards, and a touchdown. He had 6 targets today. Larry Donald, another 6 catches. Daniel Fells gets the touchdown catch, of course. Jennings with the touchdown. So the Giants finally had some life on offense, and that's what you were looking for in this team this week. You had to do it. I mean, you had to. This was the Giants' week to get going because the offense has just been abysmal the first couple of weeks. So this was a good win. There were definitely some things that need to be fixed, but you know what? They put pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick. They made his life miserable today in the pocket. The special teams unit played so much better. They only had that one turnover by Daniel Fells. And last week, I mean, you look at the Giants so far, it's been a disaster. But this team could be 2-1. I mean, last week there was just so many fumbles and mistakes where they really could be 2-1. Week one, dominated. The Lions, it was all Lions. Paul DeTino told me last week they didn't stand a chance. Last week they did. So there are positives you can take so far from this Giants season. And the real positive you'll take is Thursday night. Can they go beat the Redskins? Because they're saying Odell Beckham might be back. Odell Beckham could be on the field. And you don't know how big that is for this Giants offense. Because today, they were looking at Preston Parker to make plays. And he had 3 catches, 33 yards. Cruz finally stepped up, folks. But after that, they don't have a lot of talent. Reuben Randall's your number 2. And Preston Parker, who had a big drop in this game, wasn't that big. But at the time, it was big. He had a drop. And when he's your third receiver, you're going to be in trouble. I mean, I tweeted it out earlier. You can follow me at JB Sports Radio and follow the show at Sports Talk 1240. You were going to be in trouble if that was the case. So they need Beckham on the field. Remember, they drafted this guy with a top 10 pick. I saw TLC at Hofstra yesterday, and no scrubs here. I mean, Odell Beckham's a top 10 pick. There are no scrubs. I'm not going to start singing away a cappella a little TLC for you because it's not a Thursday, so I'm not going to throw it back that far. But the Giants need this guy on the field, and hopefully they get him on Thursday because the Redskins are a better team than a lot of people thought they were coming into the season. They're a decent team, and they had a shootout today, and we'll talk with it with Sage Rosenfels, the former NFL quarterback at Sage Rosenfels 18 in a couple of minutes. But the Redskins are a solid football team that can score. And Kirk Cousins, he's got no problem throwing the football, folks. I mean, if you thought this team was going to be worse without RG3, you're wrong. 427 yards and 3 touchdowns. So the Giants don't have an easy task ahead of them when they head to FedEx Field to face the Washington Redskins, who are 1-2 after a tough loss today. The Redskins are an interesting team because they don't have much going for them on defense, but they can score with the best of them. So they have no problem putting up points. So Thursday night, a huge game for the Giants. They can improve to 2-2. And Paul DeTino said again last week, he thinks the Giants will be 2-2 when the month is over. And they got a shot to do it. You win next week, then you get 10 days off. You face the Falcons. I am Luke Calvert, controlling the social media at Sports Talk 1240. He is a Falcons fan, and that game will be at MetLife Stadium, and that will be a big game for both teams. The Falcons torching, absolutely torching the Bucs in one of the worst Thursday night football games of all time. So you know what? The Giants will determine if you believe in this team. We'll determine that on Thursday. Because if you go 1-3, the schedule, folks, in the middle of the season is not easy for the Giants. It gets easy towards the end, but these are the games you got to win. You got to go beat the Redskins. I'd say you have to beat the Falcons because you're not going to beat the Eagles on the road at this point. And then you got the Cowboys, Colts, Seahawks, 49ers. And then the rest, Cowboys, Jaguars, Titans, Redskins, Rams, Eagles. It's not as bad. So this Thursday night is a huge game for Big Blue. Really is. This is a game where you look at for the Giants to win a tight one if you want to be serious about this season. Because right now, you could say the division's up for grabs. It's really not. This is the Philadelphia Eagles division. They are scoring points at will, and they look really, really good. They're a dangerous football team right now. So the Giants are having a tough road ahead, folks. And if Odell Beckham can get on the field sooner rather than later, this Giants offense is going to be good. So we'll see, but today some encouraging signs. A lot of good stuff from the defense. You get a couple of picks there. Intra roll, Prince of Mukamara. You had the defense play really, really well today. And that's what the Giants need. And Rogers Cromartie, I forgot, also had a very nice interception. So the Giants get 3 picks. They had no turnovers the first 2 games. They get 3 today. And it's a win, but it's a game you couldn't lose without Arian Foster, without Jadeveon Clowney. You said this last week, but the Cardinals, I think, are a better team than the Texans. That's just a fact. It's not even an opinion. The Cardinals are better than the Texans are. I mean, the Texans are, they're 2-1, their 2-0 record coming to this game, folks, is very deceiving. They're not that great of a football team led by a quarterback who should be a backup, who it's kind of a disaster that he's even starting, to be honest with you. He shouldn't be a starting quarterback in this league. The Bills paid the Harvard grad way too soon. And he's had Fitzmagic moments here and there. But in the end, it's been Fugazi. And he hasn't been a stud quarterback. So, again, you're listening to Sports Talk 1240 here on AM 1240 WGBB. I am your host, Jake Brown. A really, really good week in the NFL that was capped off by a tremendous Super Bowl rematch with the Seahawks and Broncos. And to go through this crazy week in the NFL is former Giants quarterback, former NFL QB, Sage Rosenfels, at Sage Rosenfels 18 on Twitter. And you can check out footballbyfootball.com where they got some tremendous stuff there. Guys like Brady Quinn, Matt Chatham, Tank Williams, Joel Dreesen, a lot of good pieces there. But now let's talk with Sage. Sage, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. What a fun day of football we had today.
Yeah, I mean, that last game was absolutely insane. And in your mind, is this Seahawks team, are they destined for a repeat right now? Because they look like they're clicking on all levels, Sage.
Well, it's really early, but they are definitely one of the elite teams in the NFL. You got to think they're one of the top 3 or 4 or 5 teams in the league. Nobody wants to go to Seattle and play, Peyton and the Broncos played, really, really good football today and sort of come back at the end of that game. And to get the game the overtime was a huge feat. So they're an excellent football team. They played so good at home. They play good on the road. And when you have that formula, you're usually in the playoffs and making a run.
And the Seahawks, they're impossible to beat at home. Now, let's keep it in. I want to go around the league with you. Let's keep it in the NFC West here. The Seahawks obviously get the win today. But how about the Arizona Cardinals? I mean, they go out there with Drew Stanton and win again. And now they're 3-0. Are you worried about the 49ers right now? Because you can't lose to Drew Stanton and the Cardinals. You just can't.
Well, I think there's two things in that game. You know, obviously the concern about the 49ers losing to a backup quarterback. But Arizona's a good football team, and they were 10-6 last year and really just missed the playoffs in that really tough division with Seattle, San Francisco, and the Rams were 7-9 last year. So Arizona's a legitimate football team, you know, with or without Carson Palmer. You know, Carson he wasn't a premier quarterback last year. They're winning their football games with excellent receiving core, good running game, and great defense. And so, you know, the 49ers are struggling a little bit, sort of a surprise. They're probably not as good as they were last year. You know, they had to give Kaepernick, a nice contract. So, you know, now he's making, you know, $16 million a year rather than $1 million a year. Well, you know, that $15 million, had to be spent on him rather than upgrading that roster like they had last year. So the team's not quite as good, and he's not playing great football right now either.
Yeah, he's been a little shaky. So do you take the Cardinals then at 3-0? Is it too early to call them a legit playoff contender with their quarterback situation?
No, I don't think so. I think they were a legit playoff contender before. I mean, as I said, they were 10-6 last year. They have a lot of their good pieces back. They lost a couple of guys like Carlos Dansby's free agency and obviously Dockett with the injury during training camp. But, you know, they're a very good football team. I think Bruce Arians is a heck of a coach. I think players a lot of playing for him. Eric Winston, who's the NFLPA players president, is a good friend of mine, and he played for him last year and just loved playing for the guy. So, you know, he did great things with Andrew Luck when Luck was a rookie over the Colts. And I said, I think they're a playoff team going into this year, and they're looking like that right now.
Yeah, and the players love Bruce Arians, and you mentioned Andrew Luck. Let's shift there. They dominate over the Jaguars, who at this point, the Jaguars are at a point where they can almost be removed from the NFL because they're just so bad, Sage, and that offensive line, you know, as a former quarterback, you need an offensive line. They finally get Blake Bortles on the field, Chad Henne out of there. Let's start with that. Do you see Bortles playing the rest of the season, and is that the right move to go with if you're the Jaguars?
Well, I think so at this point. You know, the Jaguars sort of flirted with everybody, you know, first game of the year, and they hopped open to a 17-0 lead on the Eagles, and it's been pretty much all downhill since. So, you know, I think it was good that they sat Bortles. You know, I think it's very, very tough for a rookie to go in right away and play, and especially if you're on a poor football team like the Jacksonville Jaguars are right now. So I think just having the first 2.5 games of watching Chad Henne go through what he has had to go through and the way the speed of the game and how physical the game is and all those types of things, I think that'll help Blake Bortles, even just sitting for two and a half games so far. I thought he did some good things that second half. You know, he had two interceptions, but he threw a couple touchdowns, threw for a lot of yards in a game that was a blowout. But I think games like that can give a guy confidence. He's in there. He's been there now. There was really not much pressure on him today. I think that'll help him throughout the rest of the year. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he was the best rookie coming to this draft, and I think he'll play good football this year. The problem is he's just on a really bad football team.
Yeah, I mean they should be in the FXFL at this point. But again, we're talking with Sage Rosenfels here on Sports Talk 1240 with Jake Brown. Now, what's your take, Sage, on this whole rookie quarterback thing? Are you a guy that says let him sit a couple of weeks and learn, like a Manziel, like a Bortles, like a Bridgewater? Or remember, these teams aren't playoff teams. Don't you think you should start them at the beginning of the season and let them grow? Or are you a guy that says wait a couple of weeks, let them get acclimated, let them learn the playbook, and bring them in later, week 4, week 5?
Well, I've always said in my own career, if I had to play my rookie or even my first 2 years in the league a significant amount, I would not have lasted for the time that I lasted in the NFL, almost 12 years. And so I'm a big believer in sitting the guy as long as you possibly can. Try to get a veteran guy in there that can, you know, be productive and teach the guy young things and still win football games. And sometimes you can find those guys and sometimes you can't. But I think it is a mistake to, you know, throw those guys to fire right away. The NFL is a totally different beast. I think anyone that watches a lot of college football then watches the NFL on Sundays really does see that difference of how good teams are, how physical the play is, how complex the offenses are, all the olive oil systems that go into it. You know, you see all the different defenses walking around. You don't see that stuff in college nearly as much. So I think if you can sit and learn as long as possible, you have a better chance of success. And you've seen that, you know, a lot over the years. You've had a few guys go in and play right away, but usually it seems like if you play right away, you don't have success. That's why it's so impressive what Russell Wilson's doing. He was not a high-touted guy. He's not a guy who played a ton in college. But his guy, you know, his rookie year ends up being named the starter and has had a ton of success through his first couple seasons.
And another guy who has, as we mentioned earlier, is Andrew Luck. Sage, is Andrew Luck going to win the MVP this year? In my mind right now, he could be the league's MVP. He has just looked so dynamic, and he's carrying a team with a hard running game, not a great offensive line, and a pretty mediocre defense. Is he your MVP?
He's one of the best players in the league. I've been saying this for about the last, I think, a good year, as I've said. I think, you know, I think he's one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. I think that sort of surprises some people because everyone thinks that Manning and Brady and Breeze and Aaron Rodgers and maybe a couple of guys in there, but I put him right in that mix. He is impressive, and he truly is carrying that football team. He is one of those guys you definitely play right away. He was ready to come out of Stanford. Mm-hmm. The things that he does physically is impressive, the way he throws the ball, the way he moves around the pocket, the way he can run, the way he leads his football team. He's one of those few quarterbacks in the NFL that can totally carry his entire team on his back. It's sort of like, as you said, I think they're an average to probably below average talent-wise football team. I love their coaching staff. They've got good, smart players, mm-hmm. like supremely talented players, but Andrew Luck really carries the load for them.
Yeah, it's incredible what he's done. And another guy you mentioned there is Aaron Rodgers. So you're making the transitions easy for me now, Sage. The Packers lose today. You got to be concerned. In my mind, 1-2, really a Marty Mornhinweg boneheaded knucklehead timeout from being an 0-3 football team potentially. Are you concerned with the Packers, and especially with their injury concerns these first couple of weeks? Are you concerned that this might not be a playoff team?
Most definitely. I think that they were a team that a lot of people had to probably pick the NFC North this year, and they're a team that, to me, is looking like a team that might win 6 or 7 football games. Yeah, sort of like with Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers really carries that football team. He is hands down the best player in that team. Their defense has been weak the last couple of years. It looks like they've gotten weaker. What was really unusual for me today, watching some of that Packers game, was, you know, they played in the dome. And usually when Aaron Rodgers playing the dome, he's throwing for at least 250 up to 350 yards. He threw for about 160 yards today. And you just don't see that from Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And it's not like it's a completely new defense they're seeing. They've been playing against, obviously, the Detroit Lions defense for forever. So the Packers have some real issues, and they've won one football game. They're 1-2, but I think their issues go way beyond that. They should have some major concerns up in Green Bay.
So if they're concerned, who, in your opinion, is the team to beat in that division? Is it the Bears, who play the Jets tomorrow night at MetLife Stadium? Is it the Lions, who are 2-1 right now? Who's the team to beat in the NFC North?
I like Chicago, and I probably am a little bit biased. You know, Mark Trestman was my quarterback's coach back in, I think it was 2004, when I was with the Miami Dolphins, and I love playing for him. I have a lot of respect for him. I think he's got a great offensive mind. I love what he's doing in Chicago with that whole team. I think they're the best team in that division. The problem is their defense is just not very good. But if they come up with some turnovers like they did last week against the 49ers, they have a chance to beat anybody. And I don't think their defense is a great defense. I don't think they can just straight stop people. But if they can get turnovers and get the ball back over to their offense, I think they have a chance to beat anybody in the NFL.
Do the Bears go out and beat my New York Jets tomorrow night?
You know, it really should be an interesting matchup. I think you have two of the most creative coordinators in the league. Mark Trestman with the Bears, who really is their offensive coordinator, and Rex Ryan with the Jets, who really is a defensive coordinator. You know, both guys, if you ask coaches on the other side of the ball, you know, those are the two toughest guys to prepare for in the NFL. I hated playing against Rex Ryan defenses, just preparing for him. The way he can break down your protection schemes and find ways to cause you issues, and you have to come up with new rules for that game, and he's tough on the running game, and he's great with designing different types of blitzes, and he's tough to prepare for. But I've also heard a lot of defensive coordinators make that same sort of complaint about what Mark Trestman does. He does a lot of things formationally. He's very, very sound at what he does. He knows how to pick up a lot of blitzes. You know, Mark, when he was my quarterback's coach, we always talked about everything always starts with protection. I think you can see that a lot more with Jay Cutler this year than in the past years in Chicago. He usually has pretty solid protection. He's not running for his life anymore. And that's why he's playing so well.
Man, he's my fantasy starter. So does that mean you're giving the Bears the edge in this one?
Well, I'm not one of those to make predictions. That's really not my. I'm more analyzing what does happen or what. But it should be a good game. I will say that. I think it's I think it might be a low scoring game, mm-hmm. Which would favor the Jets. But it should be a great football game. I think it's just two good football teams trying to figure out if they're a playoff team or not, but I think they're both good football teams.
Yeah, and if Marshall and Jeffrey play, which they probably will, they're both questionable. The Jets secondary, which is a disaster right now, could be in for a lot of trouble. We're talking with Sage Rosenfels here on Sports Talk 1240 and AM 1240 WGBB. Check out footballbyfootball.com. Sticking in the AFC East, the Patriots, that was just some sloppy, disgusting, not want to watch kind of football today against the Oakland Raiders, who are a team, it's just as one of the worst in the league right now. I mean, you talk about the worst teams in the league, it's the Raiders and the Jaguars right up there. Are the Patriots, even though they're 2-1, are you a little concerned with them right now?
You know, a little bit, but not really. You know, I'm sure Bill Belichick's press conference afterwards was the same, whether they, you know, beat the Broncos by 30 or barely beat the Raiders by a touchdown. So, you know, they just sort of do what they do and find a way to win football games, and they're not always fancy. You know, they don't have a lot of the superstars that they had in the past. You know, long gone are Wes Welker and Randy Moss and some of the good running backs they've had. They've got a lot of guys that aren't big names, and, you know, right now, though, Gronkowski's healthy. The defense is playing okay, and they obviously got Tom Brady. So, I like to think they're one of those teams that's still going to win the minimum nine games, but, you know, I'm sure they'll be back in the playoffs. It's just what they do. They seem to be in the playoffs every single year, whether an ugly win or a nice, a big victory. They seem to know how to win football games.
All right, the Chargers beat the Bills today. Can we shut some Bills fans up? Because I think after their 2-0 start saves, they got a little excited. They thought they were going to the Super Bowl up in Buffalo. Can we look at this Bills team now as kind of more just a middle of the pack to below average football team, or do you think they could surprise some people?
You know, I actually wrote on the website Football by Football last week that I really like what the Bills were doing. You know, I don't think that division is really tough. Obviously, I said the, you know, Patriots are a good team. I think the Jets are an okay team. I think Miami's below average, and I think the Bills can sneak into that mix and maybe make something happen. So I actually wrote last week that I think they're a legit football team. I mean, they've beaten two good football teams that have beaten two other really good football teams. And so I think they're better than they have been in the past. You know, like any team, they're going to have their losses and a few wins, but I think they're going to be more in the mix this year than they have in the past. I like what E.J. Manuel is doing. He's not just a running quarterback. I think he's trying to use his arm. I think he's coached well. It looks like he does a good job of reading defenses and going through his progressions. And I love their big play guys, you know, Watkins and C.J. Spiller and a few of the other players that they have, Fred Jackson. I think they've got some good skill position players. You know, today Sammy Watkins barely sniffs the ball, and that's obviously a huge concern for them because he is their best football player on that football team as far as talent, as far as playmaking ability. They gave up a lot to get him, and they got to find ways to get him the football.
So are you going to make the statement of the year and tell me the Buffalo Bills are going to the playoffs?
As I said, I don't make those predictions, but I do think they'll be in the mix more than they have the last few years.
Okay, fair enough. Now, moving over to the NFC, the New Orleans Saints, they get a win today. Wasn't pretty, but they win 20-9. Are you concerned with the Saints at all the first couple of weeks of the season? In my mind, I think they're fine. I think they just had a couple of mishaps and a couple of plays not go their way versus the Browns. But are you concerned with New Orleans at 1-2?
You know, actually, I wasn't that concerned even at 0-2, but I actually became more concerned today. You know, the Vikings, I watched that football game. I'm actually up in Minneapolis as we speak, and I watched that game, and you know, the Vikings had a heck of a chance to win it. You know, Matt Castle goes down, and they bring in the rookie, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, and he plays, you know, good, solid football for them, doesn't make any big mistakes. But, you know, if there's that play, that the personal foul play, unnecessary roughness that Captain Maryland had on Drew Brees, if that doesn't happen, that's just a sack. They punt the football. At that point, I think they're only up by 4 points. I think it was 13-9, and the Vikings are going to get the football. So that, you know, the Vikings really shouldn't have been in that football game with all the issues they've been having with the Adrian Peterson situation, with their starting quarterback going down, obviously going down to New Orleans, which is an extremely tough place to play, and still having a very good chance of winning that football game. That actually gave me more concern about the New Orleans Saints, then, you know, their 0-2 record going into this game.
Yeah, well, we need to see that Rob Ryan defense show up. They struggled a little bit today, but played better than they did in weeks 1 and 2. We're talking with Sage Rosenfels at Sports Talk 1240. Let's shift over before we let you go, Sage, just to the off-the-field stuff. Your thoughts on, I guess, Roger Goodell's press conference that in my mind was a disaster. But what did you think, with the Benji moment of the elevator aside, what did you think of what Roger Goodell had to say?
Well, I think everyone was just really hoping that, you know, he would really lead this league out of sort of the darkness that's in right now, and a lot of people weren't convinced about what he said or how he said it. You know, he has a huge role, obviously, not just in the National Football League, but sort of as our, you know, our social aspect of this country. You know, so many people love the NFL. So many people, you know, invest in the NFL, buying season tickets and going to games and getting jerseys, and it's what they love to do. And you want to have your leader to really, you know, lead you into, you know, loving the sport again. And it didn't seem like that happened. I think a lot of people thought his speech was a little bit inauthentic and disingenuous, and it wasn't really what they were looking for. It sounded like a lot of politic talk again, as it seems like we're getting a lot from the NFL. And it's too bad because, you know, I love the NFL. I've played it for a long time. It's part of who I am. It's what I love to cover. It's why I write now for footballbyfootball.com. And I want the league to have success. And it looks like right now there's a black eye and a dark cloud hovering over the league. And Roger Goodell is part of that.
And say she said new policies by the Super Bowl. Don't you think it's got to be sooner than that?
Well, I don't know. I think they have to get it right. You know, whatever they do, they have to, you know, make the right decisions. And I think that's why he hired the new people from D.C. to come in and really help evaluate every aspect of you know, all the types of things that deal with domestic violence and assaults and those types of things. I have to, you know, think they're going to do really go over, you know, turn over every rock and pebble and see what the best, you know, possible scenario is. I do know. At least I hope that they don't make everything completely black and white. I think there's very different scenarios between what happened in the Ray Rice elevator to things that could be way, way worse, to things that could be not quite as bad. And you'd like to think that not everything is one broad, you know, sweep brush that puts everybody in the same boat. So, you know, hopefully that whatever, you know, things happen in the future, and as far as NFL players are concerned or people that work within NFL organizations, everything is, in my opinion, should be dealt with an individual basis. And you know, obviously that the punishment should be much more severe than it has been the last few years.
And, Sage, before we let you go, last one. You mentioned Ray Rice. I mean, can you take this appeal seriously? He's saying that the videotape was edited. I mean, what's your thoughts on this whole Ray Rice situation?
Well, I think he can do whatever he wants to do, but I've got a decent feeling that he might be done playing in the NFL, you know, whatever appeal happens or not. I mean, he can, you know, win the appeal and they have to take him off the suspension list, but, you know, the Baltimore Ravens are going to bring him back, and I don't know if the other team's going to sign him just because nobody wants to deal with the backlash from all the scrutiny and the second guessing they're going to get and, you know, all that type of stuff. So
you think he's
the appeal and he's reinstated tomorrow or he's out for the rest of the year. I don't know if he's going to play in the NFL anymore.
You think he's gone for his career or this season?
I think he might be done for his career.
Wow.
You know, I think that's what I just think that there's such a dark cloud over him and those types of, I mean, people didn't, I mean, whether he can play football or not, but, you know, a lot of people didn't like the Tim Tebow stuff because he brought so much attention to a team and coaches just didn't want to deal with it. Organizations didn't want to deal with all that attention for a guy who was going to be a backup. And, you know, Ray Rice is coming sort of near the end of his career. He's probably on the downside of his prime, you know, especially as a running back. Those guys don't last very long. His stats have not been good the last couple years. And so I think it would be a big risk for teams to pick him up. And so whether you like or not, I think his career might be done.
Wow. Bold statement from Sage. Sage Rosenfels, at Sage Rosenfels 18, and check out footballbyfootball.com. I had you on my show last year on ESPN Radio. Glad to have you back on here on Sports Talk 1240. Sage, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
Sage Rosenfels, Football by Football. Brady Quinn's on there, Matt Chatham, Sage, of course, Tank Williams, Joel Dreesen, and a bunch of other former players. Check out that site. We got a lot more to do, including the Jets. They play a game tomorrow night. What's going to happen? Will they beat the Bears? I'll break down that game. Also, we'll recap the Mets and Yankee season, both of them not going to the playoffs. And also, I want to close out the show with this one. Why Chris Carlin's statements on Derek Jeter were partially correct. You're not going to want to miss the second half of Sports Talk 1240. Here with Jake Brown on AM 1240 WGBB. We will see you in a minute.
And AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB, or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Jake Brown back here with you on Sunday night, September 21st, 2014. Summer ends today. Can you believe it? I mean, it's over. And now the chilly weather's coming. And I can already sense that this is going to be a fall where we may see snow by early October. I'm telling you, it's not good. It's really not. Next is Sage Rosenfels are coming on. FootballByFootball.com. He does an awesome job there with former players writing with him. And he said he didn't want to give away predictions, but he did say, which I found really good, Ray Rice could be done for his career. How about that? I think he'll be picked up next season. But Sage strongly believes that Rice's career could be over. That's a bold statement. So we'll see what happens there. The Jets play the Bears tomorrow. But before we get into that, I mean, Sage talked about it a little bit. Roger Goodell did nothing for me in that speech. And I actually got a little distracted once this Benji from the Howard Stern show said, "Don't put me in the elevator," screamed out. I had no clue what the heck was going on. That was insane. But he really did nothing. Absolutely nothing. And for him to say these policies are going to be changed by the Super Bowl, shouldn't it be a little more urgent? Shouldn't it take a little less than 5 months for you to implement new policies? Roger that. That's got to be changed. I think Adrian Peterson, he should be out for the year. I think Ray Rice should be out for the year. And I'm sick of all these people and players defending Adrian Peterson. I'm really sick of it at this point. Do you see the marks he left that child? This player is saying Trent Williams. I had to put up on CBS Sports Radio about Trent Williams talking about how a butt-whooping is what made him the man he is today. He's the Redskins offensive lineman. He said Adrian Peterson's a great father. He's disobedient with his kids. He knows how to treat his kids. The pictures are all you need to see. That's all you need to see in this situation. That's the evidence. The Ray Rice video put us all in shock. We saw the video, we saw the evidence, and we turned on him. Adrian Peterson, you see the pictures, you turn on him. Because there are just marks everywhere on this child's body. And what's the excuse? He's too young. There's not really, even if he's 12, 13, whatever he is, you don't do that to a child. And then Reggie Bush comes out and says, "I'm going to be strict with my kid when he's 4 years old." I mean, these guys are living in fantasy lands. They really are. It's embarrassing for these guys to even come out and say it. I mean, you worry about who the PR people are. Maybe I should have took a PR because these guys need new PR people. It's really pathetic what they go out there and say to the general public, and they think it's all right, and then they receive the backlash. Example, Paul George's idiotic tweets. If she ain't tripping, I ain't tripping. Oh, shut the hell up. I mean, are you kidding me? Of course she ain't tripping because Ray Rice is paying all the bills. And when he's not playing, he ain't paying. So it should be if he ain't playing, he ain't paying. That's what he should be tweeting. If she ain't tripping, I ain't tripping. I mean, give me a break, PG. You should be rehabbing your leg. We went from loving the story about maybe a comeback, you felt horrible for him, to now saying, shut your mouth and go rehab. I mean, really? It's just so unnecessary. All these guys. Now, if you tweet against Roger Goodell, I have no problem with that. But enough is enough. Let's move on. The Jets play the Bears tomorrow night. I'll probably be there, not sure yet. But 1-1 versus 1-1. A big game for the Jets, considering when you look at the middle of their schedule, these are a couple of games you want. You have the Bears at home. You have the Lions at home. Then you get the Chargers, Broncos, Patriots, which they could potentially lose all three with 2 of 3 on the road. The home game is the Broncos, and I don't see the Jets beating the Broncos. I'm sorry. So this is the game you really want. You want to beat the Bears at home, but it's a tough game. Remember, Jay Cutler could throw the football with the best of them. And with Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall on the field, that's not going to be an easy game. It's really not. So this is going to be a really, really tough test for the Jets against a Bears offense that is really good. Remember, 8:30 tomorrow night. And for the Jets, here's a couple things you got to look at. Trust Geno Smith. On a 3rd and 5, on a 3rd and 4, let Geno throw. The guy has clearly matured. He's looked like a better quarterback. Let the guy play football. And Marty Mordenwig said it after he had that dope knucklehead timeout. Hey, I got to trust Geno more. You do. I'm not saying Geno is the second coming to Jesus. I'm not saying Geno Smith is the next Peyton Manning. But Geno Smith has progressed. Now let's see it. Let's see the progression. Let him play ball. And you're not even worried, really, about the Jets' offense anymore. You worry about the secondary. You worry about who's stopping Marshall and Jeffrey. And if I'm Jay Cutler, I'm throwing a Brandon Marshall all day because D. Milliner is likely not going to play. And you're going to have guys like Darren Walls, Kyle Wilson, Ellis Langster. You're going to have Antonio Allen covering these guys. And that's going to spell nightmares for the Jets. So the key for the Jets tomorrow night is not giving any time to Jay Cutler. Stuff Matt Forte and put pressure on Jay Cutler. Because if you don't give him time, he will make bad decisions. We've seen Jay Cutler throw up Hail Marys that aren't pretty. So if you could make him rush, you could win this football game tomorrow night. It's not going to be easy. But that's what I look for in the defense. Now on offense, the Jets have got to get Jason Morrow involved. There's a chance Eric Decker doesn't play. He is questionable. And if he doesn't, the Jets are in a whole lot of trouble. Now, if Decker doesn't play, the Jets are losing this football game 27-24. If Decker does play and he's a factor, I think the Jets win this game. I think they win 24-23. I think it's going to be really, really tight. But I think they win this game if Eric Decker plays. Because the Jets should have won last week. They looked really good against Green Bay. And I found it interesting that Sage Rosenfeld said the Packers could be a 6 or 7 win team. They don't look very good. They're off to 1-2 start, and we can't judge a season by 3 games. But with their injury concerns, with the problems they have against the running game, the Green Bay Packers are in a lot of trouble. And this is the Bears' division to win, potentially. It really could be. So it's a tough task for the Jets, but if Eric Decker plays, the Jets win. If Decker doesn't play, the Jets lose. It makes that much of a difference. You're saying they're going to lose, blah, blah, blah. That is the difference in this football game. The Jets need their number one receiver because Jeremy Curley's not a number one, and the rest of them, it's Larry Moe and Curley. I hate to use that, but that's what it is. So they need Curley to be the number two, and they got to get something. Jason Morrow, the Jets draft this guy, and we're all excited because he's big and burly, 6'6", 260. He's like a Larry Donnell type of size. But Jason Morrow has been absent from this Jets team. He hasn't been good. So the Jets got to get something from the rookie out of Texas Tech. They got to see this guy in the red zone be a factor against the Bears secondary. And remember, the Bears can bring a pass rush with Jared Allen. They have a good, a better defensive front, not great. But that's going to be a key in this football game. Get the ball to Jason Morrow. The Jets got to get something at a tight end. When you're limiting the middle of the field, as they have with Jeff Cumberland and Jason Morrow, you're forcing guys on the outside to make plays that they can't, like a Greg Salas and a David Nelson. When you have Geno Smith, he's got that check down guy that's not a Chris Johnson or a Bilal Powell or a Chris Ivory. When you have him have a Jason Morrow or a Jeff Cumberland, it's a whole new ball game. It's a whole new season. So for the Jets offense, you got to look for the tight end to play a factor. More Jason Morrow, because Jeff Cumberland's not really known as a receiving tight end. He's more of a blocker. You got to have Jace set the pace. Jets win 24-23 if Decker plays. If he doesn't, 27-24 loss. But you know what? Got to keep it close. You got to show something. So we'll see tomorrow night. I think it's going to be a really good game. Should be a fun night at MetLife if you're heading out there. At JB Sports Radio, at Sports Talk 1240, this is Long Island's number one sports talk radio show, Sunday nights, 8 to 10 p.m. at Sports Talk 1240, sportstalk1240.com. And you can hear it only on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. And remember, stay tuned after I'm on, because I know you hockey fans are getting ready. The Islanders return home on Wednesday for the preseason. Gar Snow will be joining the program. So you're not going to want to miss the Islanders GM say what he's got to say about this Isle season coming up. And a lot of people have high hopes for the Islanders. Should be a playoff team this year, and you'd hope so. You want them to close out the old barn with a playoff appearance, because they've sat through it all. You have season ticket holders losing their seats going to Brooklyn, and the ones who are keeping them, they're not going to see much because there's so many obstructions. I sat there in the preseason, and I had to stand in the lower level because I couldn't see a thing along the boards. So you don't have to tell me, but if you've been to Barclays Center, you saw the preseason Islanders Devils game, you know that your views aren't going to be great. So cherish the year at the old barn. So Gar Snow will be joining the program after me. But let's get into a little bit of baseball here. Let's talk about the New York Yankees. Masahiro Tanaka comes back today. How about this day in New York? I mean, go crazy, folks. I was about to do my Harry Carey voice. Go crazy, folks. I can't even do it now. I can only do it off the mic. I don't know why. But the Yankees win 5-2 over the Blue Jays. Masahiro Tanaka is sharp in his return. The Yankees bring him back. A little risky. He improves to 13-4. McCann hits two homers. Gardner hits a homer. And the Yankees win. They improve to 80-75. And now in the wild card race, they still don't have a chance. There's only a week left, and they stand 4.5 out. So the Yankees, you know what? Chris Collins' comments about Derek Jeter. Let's start with that. Let's start with Chris Collins' comments. He said, this clown's a fraud. He said, after seeing if you haven't seen the commercial, the Gatorade commercial, you haven't been on the internet. He called them, and he called the fans suckers, the SNY TV personality, Chris Collins, who I used to get coffee for when I interned at SNY, him and Bobby Ojeda. And I don't think I ever got him food, which may surprise his critics, because everyone calling him out for being fat and all this and that after. I mean, grow up. We know he's big. I mean, that's gonna be your comeback to what he said about Jeter. Let's keep it to sports and not to weight. I would think people are better than that, but obviously people behind a computer screen aren't. But Chris Carlin, you may call me crazy and follow us at Sports Talk 1240 at JB Sports Radio. But I think he's partially right. Now, it's been overkilled. I'm going to agree with him. And not just because I'm a Mets fan. But Mariano Rivera, folks, last year, we saw him go out in style. We saw him go out with class. We didn't see commercials left and right. We didn't see all these. It's like Derek Jeter gets a single, and we're all supposed to jump out of our chairs and give him a smooch. I mean, he had a great career. Respect, blah, blah, blah. S would replace with a 2. Hall of Famer, first ballot, 100%, no doubt about it. But for a guy who's known for his class and for everything he's done right, this has just been a total publicity stunt, total move to sell tickets. And I love the commercial. The commercial was moving. It was great, the Gatorade commercial that just came out this week. It was great. And, of course, the Nike commercial. But that thing was so scripted. I mean, give him the paycheck and make him do that. We've been waiting for you to come here since 96. Well, you never invited me. Ha ha, you're funny, Derek. Derek Jeter's not going to show up at a bowling alley in the Bronx. He's not going to walk to the ballpark. He's not taking the subway. He's not hopping on the 4 train to Yankee Stadium unless Gatorade's paying him 7 figures to do it. I mean, Chris Collins right about that. And for people to go crazy at him, was he out of line a little bit in saying he's a fraud? Yeah, he was. But he's got a point. He did this because he got paid. He would not do this for free. Jeter's not walking the streets for free. And we didn't see a lot of these things from him throughout his career. So I don't think he's necessarily a fraud and a clown. Those may be the wrong words for it. But I do think a lot of people are getting sucked into this Jeter hype. And it's warranted, but it's a little bit too much. And I'll tell you, once Sunday passes, the Yankees are out, this Jeter thing's done. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the actual team. Who didn't make the playoffs? How about you talk about that? I mean, Jeter hits a home run, and everyone's, like, going wild. It's like they've never seen him hit a home run before. I mean, you know what? Jeter got all this attention, and he was great. But we didn't see all these other guys get this attention. But he did. He was good. There's been play. Breaking news, people. There are better players out there in baseball than Derek Jeter. Sorry. Oops, I said it. Is someone going to shoot me? There's better players out there than Derek Jeter. There are. And did they get commercials? Millions of dollars. This guy got a number 2 on his hat and jersey while they're still playing in the season. He didn't pass away. He didn't retire. You got Mark Teixeira. You got Brett Gardner. You got all these guys wearing Derek Jeter's number while he's standing right next to them in the dugout. Come on. I mean, all about jersey sales, all about ticket sales, all about memorabilia sales, all about these commercials. And yes, you've enjoyed the commercials. They're cool. You have celebrities tipping their cap. You have Jeter being one with the fans in the Gatorade commercial. But, I mean, come on now. It's gotten to the point where it makes you pull your hair out a little bit. And I respect him. He's a tremendous player. But when this week's over, that's when a lot of people could really celebrate. And I wish it didn't have to go down this way. I love the way Mariano Rivera went down. And Rivera is awesome. I like Rivera more than I do Jeter. I have more respect for Rivera than I do Jeter. I really do. I think Mariano Rivera he was a class act. It really was. And you had Jeter announce it before the season, and you knew all the tickets. I mean, $250 was the cheapest ticket to get into Thursday's game versus the Orioles. And then the Yankees did the ceremony. Why don't you have the ceremony for the people that paid hundreds of dollars for the last game? I mean, I bought tickets and then sold them for the Jeter ceremony game. They made nothing because no one's going to go to that with 3 weeks left in the season. Total ticket-selling ploy by a team that's not in the playoffs. I mean, give me a break. So Chris Carlin, partially right. I'll agree with him. I think he was a little strong saying fraud and they're calling fans suckers. But he's right. This whole thing didn't go down properly as it should have, and it turned more into publicity. And the Yankees fans loved it. They soaked in every second. They're going to miss Jeter. You're not going to miss him the last couple of years because he hasn't been that good. But you're going to miss him. He's the face of the franchise. And guess what? this season was a wash, you're praying Alex Rodriguez comes back. You really are. The Yankees need his bat, and the Yankees need him to sell tickets, because A-Rod draws eyeballs, he draws ticket sales, he draws jersey sales, he draws ratings. Alex Rodriguez has got to be slotted in the cleanup spot as the designated hitter. You figure Headley stays at third, and you figure Teixeira stays at first. A-Rod should be the everyday DH next year, and the Yankees are going to need his bat. So you look at the Yankees year in review, you think letdown, disappointment, but when injuries compiled to that starting pitching staff, they didn't stand a chance because they already had concerns even when they were healthy. So questions to be answered, who's going to fill this rotation? What happens with CeCe Sabathia? Will he come back? You need to go out and get a starter. I think you let Kuroda go. I don't think Kuroda's got much left in him. What do you do with David Robertson? I think you got to bring him back. I think you got to bring him back, and Dellin Betances has proved that he's a mainstay. But you still need help in that bullpen. It's not Betances and no one else. So you address the starting rotation, you address Robertson, and you get A-Rod's bat back and hope A-Rod's good. And then you just need the guys you signed to produce. You need Beltran to come back here. You need McCann to play like he's been playing lately and be a mainstay. You need Teixeira to stay healthy and not be out of the lineup for a bruised left pinky. I mean, Mark Teixeira has been out for – I wouldn't be surprised if Mark Teixeira missed a game because he had diarrhea at this point, because that's what it seems like. He's missed games for all sorts of reasons. Get him some Pepto-Bismol. I mean, Mark Teixeira has missed games for every reason you could imagine. So the Yankees got to stay healthy. And with 2 minutes left, we'll close it out with the Mets. The NL East is awful when the New York Mets are a half game out of second place. They sweep the Braves today, and the Mets are a half game out of second. And the bad thing about that is that's going to be, great job, Terry Collins. You were great this year, brother. You were great. We're going to keep you as the manager and away from the bingo alleys, because we want you back. And I don't want to see him back, but he's coming back. I'm sorry. Terry Collins is back next year. You can basically lock it in. For the Mets, positives from this season. Jacob DeGrom has to win Rookie of the Year. Lock it in. I mean, the guy strikes out every batter. It's incredible how good he is. You get Matt Harvey back. You have your closer, Mejia. Familia proves to be a good setup man. I've said it over and over. Go get a shortstop. Wilmer Flores can't be your everyday shortstop. I'm sorry. You got to get a left fielder, a 30 and 100 guy. You got to go 0 to 100 real quick from Chris Young at 0 to a guy who could drive at 100 like a Nelson Cruz. Spend some money. Go spend money. Left fielder, shortstop, a veteran reliever. And guess what? They're that close to being a playoff team. The Mets win today. It doesn't matter. Yankees win. Both aren't going to the playoffs. The Jets play tomorrow night versus the Bears. And the Giants go to 1-2 and will play another one Thursday versus the Redskins. Thanks to Sage Rosenfeld for joining the program today. Thanks to Luke Halford for tweeting away at Sports Talk 1240. You can follow me at JV Sports Radio. Stay locked in to your TuneIn app, to your radio dial, wherever you listen to us here, as Gar Snow will join Sports Talk 1240 in a matter of moments. Thanks for joining me, and I'll see you all in just a couple of short weeks. Have a great night.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.